The soldiers have packed up from Gaza, and a 72-hour ceasefire has begun between Hamas and Israel. We've seen many such ceasefire promises come and go in the past month of fighting, fighting that has displaced more than a quarter of a million people, killed more than 1,700 Palestinians, and more than 60 Israelis, the vast majority of them soldiers. But this time, indirect talks are underway in Cairo. What do Hamas and Israel have to talk about right now? Joining me from Jerusalem is Griff Witte, London bureau chief for The Washington Post. Griff, welcome to The Takeaway.
Good to be here, John.
So how credible are these talks? How credible are the Egyptians this time around?
Well, the last time there was a major conflict in Gaza was 2012, and at that time, Egypt played a very important role in ending the conflict. But Egypt has changed quite a bit since 2012. At that time, the Muslim Brotherhood was in power. This time around, the military is in power in Egypt. There's a real lack of trust here, not only between Israel and Hamas, but there's also a real lack of trust between Hamas and Egypt. And I think that that's going to be an issue as these talks get underway.
What's in it for Hamas at this point? It seems to me that the first item of business would be trading tunnels for peace at this point.
Well, Gaza has been absolutely decimated by this conflict. It was not in great shape before, but it's taken a horrible, horrible toll there. And Hamas really has to do something for its people now. After all of the sacrifices that they've endured, Hamas is going to be under really severe pressure to show the people of Gaza that all of it was worth something. And it's not clear that they're going to get anything out of this. What they want is an opening to the border crossings. They want a lifting of restrictions. They want materials to be able to flow freely into Gaza and out again. But Israel is going to surely drive a hard bargain in this negotiations. Israel feels like it can last longer than Hamas can militarily. And so Hamas is going to be in a very, very difficult position.
It seems to me the mission of Hamas was to demonstrate to the world that the closing of Gaza, the packing in of the people of Gaza, as Israel has done with the closing of those border posts and the Egyptian closing of the border posts in the south, is not sustainable. Have they failed at that? Does Israel not really have to give some sort of face-saving gesture here to open those border crossings?
I don't think that either Hamas or Israel has come off particularly well in terms of international opinion in this conflict. Both have seen their reputations take a real hit internationally. And I think that the suffering of people in Gaza is real. The suffering is enormous. But I think that Israel feels that it has Hamas in a very strategically weak position. And it doesn't feel like it wants to give Hamas anything that could be construed as a reward for firing rockets.
Politically, how has the number of casualties in Israel, small compared to the Palestinians, but still significant in the day-to-day news and events of Israel, how has that been playing?
Israel is a very small country, and there have been 67 people here in Israel who have been killed, the vast majority of them soldiers, 64 of them are troops. And just about everyone knows someone who was killed or knows someone who knows someone who was killed. But there have been past conflicts in Israel where there's been a lot of soul searching, where there's been a sense that perhaps the conflict wasn't worth it, perhaps these boys died in vain. That's not the sentiment right now. There continues to be very strong support within Israel for this campaign and a sense that the sacrifices, great as they are worth it.
Is part of that due to the fact that Hamas is saying that it has demonstrated that it has a rocket capability virtually over all of Israeli territory, regardless of the Iron Dome defense?
I think that's played a big part, and I think the tunnels have really spooked a lot of Israelis. The Israeli military says it's destroyed 32 tunnels between Israel and Gaza over the course of this operation, and there was a real fear among Israelis that Hamas planned to use these tunnels to dig down under Israel and take Israelis captive, and that's loomed very large in the Israeli imagination.
Does anyone have a sense of endgame here? Could we even remotely get close to a situation where Gaza would not be occupied and would be a trading zone with relative autonomy on any level?
Well, I think that the fear here is that this conflict is just going to endlessly repeat itself. We've now seen three iterations of this conflict in 2008, 2009, in 2012, and now 2014. And although in each case, Israel feels like it proved itself to be the far, far superior military, the underlying reality here has not changed. The underlying reality here is that Hamas remains very much in control in Gaza, and it has weapons, and Israel would like to demilitarize Gaza in exchange for some sort of opening in the territory, but Hamas is not interested in giving up its weapons. That's the source of its power. That's what gives it its strength. And if it begins to allow itself to be demilitarized, it would face problems in terms of maintaining its hold on Gaza.
Finally, Griff Witte, maybe the headline here or the takeaway is that on this third time around in conflict between Gaza and Israel, the West Bank is really not a player. The Kerry peace process involving Abu Mazen and the Fatah leadership on the West Bank really was out of the loop here. And I'm wondering if, as we go forward, the separation between the West Bank and Gaza is wider than ever before.
Well, I think that will be one of the very interesting things to watch as these talks in Egypt get underway. The Palestinian Authority is represented in the Egyptian talks. It's there leading the delegation on the Palestinian side. And I think that there are moderate voices on both the Israeli and on the Palestinian side who are saying this is an opportunity to use this conflict to give the PA more leverage, to give moderate Palestinian voices more of a say, more control in Gaza, and to limit Hamas's power there. How you get there is very unclear, and it's also unclear whether that's ultimately what Israel wants.
Griff Witte is London Bureau Chief for The Washington Post, speaking to us from Jerusalem. Griff, thanks so much.
John, thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.